This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan, and welcome back to the show. This is our going into our 18th year. We started in a studio in a barn on the Naramata Bench. We're now in Mill Bay, Vancouver Island, Cowichan Valley, where the Cowichan Valley Wine Festival is on for the month of August. So if you hear horns honking outside, that's them. That's the parade. Two stories for you. Our first guest is Michele Faro, F-A-R-O. The winery is Pietro Dolce, and he is the owner, as was his father before him and his grandfather. He lives in a town called Castiglione di Sicilia. It's on the slopes of Mount Etna, the volcano in Sicily. And joining him on the interview is Selwyn Rostrand, who is the director of sales for Epson Canada, their distributor, their partner in Canada. We'll be talking about Arcinari 2019 Etna Rosso, their wonderful Barbagalli to 2018, the Contrada Santo Spirito, and not yet available but much talked about is the Fiude di Mezzo 2019. And finally, the Contrada Rampante. We'll be talking about those five wines. They're made from bush vines. In other words, there's nothing fancy. No trellises, no wires, bush. They look like bushes that you would find in your garden, except they're barren and big and healthy, and they're growing in incredible soil, volcanic soil. Michele explains there is snow on Mount Etna, and it does supply water to these vines as it comes down the slopes. There's actually on their website, there's a shot of the winery, and they're displaying the winery, but in the background is steam and smoke coming out of the top of the mountain. It's amazing, and they make incredible wines, and we'll tell you about it. You will find that Michele Faro is very passionate about his home, his wines, and their place in the world of wine. Now, the second guest is Alessandro Nel, N-E-L. His friends call him Alex. He's from South Africa and has been a winemaker there for many years. He saw an ad for a needed winemaker at Fort Barons in Lillooet in Canada, in British Columbia. Had no idea where it was, but he liked the idea. He'd worked in some hard environments previously in South Africa and wasn't put off by the fact that this is a pretty tough landscape to grow vines in. We're going to talk about African heat as opposed to Lytton, British Columbia heat. We'll talk about their Riesling, available now, the small lots dry Riesling, small lot Gruner Veltliner, the Pinot Gris, the Chardonnay, the Rosé, the Cab Franc, the Meritage Reserve, the Red Gold, and anything else I can squeeze out of them. The award-winning Fort Barons in Lillooet, and their winemaker, Alex Nel from South Africa, is our second guest on this edition of Tasting Room Radio. Enjoy. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Let's say you want to take a tasting experience at Hillside. You can join them daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. You can do the portfolio tasting, and it showcases their legacy vineyards dating back to 1984. Or the terroir tasting, and it shines a spotlight on their single vineyard series. It's the award-winning Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca.
Hello, my name is Terry David Mulligan, and this is Tasting Room Radio. Just for the record, it is 8:28 on a, what is it, someone, is it Wednesday morning?
Wednesday morning.
On a Wednesday morning, mid-July. And our guest on this edition is going to be joining us from Mount Etna, Michele Faro. Michele Faro is the owner of Pietro Dolce on Mount Etna. Everybody knows Etna. That's what we're going to talk about as well. And Selwyn represents him through Epson Wine Canada. I took a look at your, first of all, welcome. Second, you got your coffee?
You have your coffee? I do have my coffee. Thank you.
Those bottles on your over your right shoulder are what we're going to be talking about.
That's right. Pietro Dolce's wines. Fabulous Epson, wines of Pietro Dolce from Etna.
Epson wines, you list a lot of Italian wines for distribution in Canada. Is there a resurgence of their wines? Are we seeing new methods of marketing to us and telling us about the experience?
Yeah, I mean, Italian wines have always been popular in North America and continue to be that. It's one of the top categories in BC after French, California, and of course, BC. They're all part of the top categories. And Italian wines continue to develop as we explore new varietals, new regions, or new regions, at least in North America. These are not new regions in Italy, they're just new to us. And that's brought a lot of people back to Italy, particularly discovering the islands of Italy, like Sicily and Mount Etna.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. One of the toughest sells is to explain where wines come from. We understand Chianti. We understand the great wine regions. However, everybody knows the name Mount Etna. It's just built into our psyche. We've heard about this amazing explosion, this landmass, and then the fact that you're growing up that mountain is quite remarkable. So our guest is about to join us here, and we'll talk to him about that as well.
Great.
Michele Ferro. Yes.
Nice to meet you. Thank
Welcome to Canada.
Thank you. Canada, great place.
Have you been here? Have you spent time here? Have you walked our vineyards?
I was there several times. Yes, I was in Quebec once, and then on the other side, Vancouver, Victoria, all that area. Yeah.
Tell us about your growing season so far. How's it going?
Yeah, growing season is quite okay. We are now in a very warm period. You know, we are almost 40 degrees Celsius, and which is which and this arrived all in a sudden because we had a quite normal season climate till now. Then since 1 week it's 40 degrees, but the vineyards are growing very well, so we are quite satisfied.
Those vineyards have been there a long time, 80, 90, 100 years. Those roots are deep. That helps sustain them, yes?
Yeah, you are totally right. You know, our passion and our main focus is to grow very old Prophylloxera vineyards. It means vineyards that resisted once at the Phylloxera insect, at the Phylloxera disease. So that's why they are very old. We have vineyards of about 100, 120, 140 years old. So it's not vineyards, they are monuments, you know, monuments that we have to grow, but we have to protect. And that's what we like. And when you have passion for this amazing terroir, when you have passion for agriculture, you grow and you enjoy growing this kind of vineyards.
You watched your grandfather grow on this land and make wine on this land, and your family farmed on it.
Yeah.
Is
yeah, you know, you
it possible
yeah,
to
tell me.
is it possible to describe how difficult it is and how rewarding it is when you get vines?
Yeah, you know what? When we started, my grandfather was a small wine producer about 100 years ago. That was the time when the people was growing the vineyards for producing the small quantities of wine that were used by the family or were sold, you know, in small quantities. So my grandfather was owner of 1 hectare of vineyards on the southern slopes of Mount Etna. That's why almost 20 years ago, I decided to restart producing wine on Mount Etna, thanks to my grandfather, the name of my grandfather was Michele, like me, and thanks to my passion for agriculture, for farming. So we decided, me and my family, to bought some new land on the northern slopes of Mount Etna, and luck on the northern slope, which is now the Golden Valley, the Burgundy of Sicily, of Italy, you know. So we bought lands on the northern slopes of Mount Etna almost 20 years ago, and believe me, that time Etna was not so popular like it is now. It was so difficult to explain when I was traveling around the world what was Etna, what was Etna wine. So I am a little bit, I am proud to say that me and few others two or three before me, before us, and me and few others in 2005, 2006, to rediscover Mount Etna. And believe me, it's very easy to say now Mount Etna, because now is such a popular area,
yeah.
But that time was not popular. So when you start producing wine right now, Mount Etna, let's say in the last 5-6 years, it's easy because you already have a brand. But let me be proud to say myself and other few people, we built the brand during the last 20 years.
how many wineries then in 2005?
It was about 8 to 10 wineries.
And now?
There.
How many now?
Now probably 200. Now, so, and you know what I remember? We had the meeting once per week with few wine producers like me, Gracci, Girolamo Russo, Frank Cornelis, and in a small bar on Mount Etna, having a drink, and testing our new vintages, new wines. We were younger than now, and it was a kind of a prehistoric moment, no, of Mount Etna. Even if it was only 20 years ago, but it was a prehistoric times. And now here we are, proud to be here.
Michaela Faro is, of course, telling us about Pietro Dolce on Etna.
Yeah.
What vines did your grandfather plant?
Yeah, it was Nerello Mascalese, mainly Nerello Mascalese, bushy shape Nerello Mascalese.
Yeah.
And then as we said, almost 20 years ago, Pietra Dolce was born. Thanks to the passion of our family for farming, Pietra Dolce is a family winery extending around 30 hectares. And we have a real deep passion for this terroir, deep passion for Prefiloxera vines, which is my passion, you know, because when you see a vine surviving 400, 140 years old, it's passion with pushing me producing wine from these plants.
Nice. I'll get back to your grandfather in a moment. Selwyn, Italian wines in Canada. Are we liking them more? Are sales going up? Are they more aware? Are we more aware of Italian wines?
I think there's a lot more awareness around new and upcoming regions. There's a lot more awareness of the islands, particularly Sicily, and Etna being the pinnacle of wines from Sicily. As Michele mentioned, the Burgundy of Sicily. Some beautiful, beautiful wines. And in a style that's really appealing to modern cuisine, lighter cuisine, great cuisine for the West Coast where we have a lot of seafood. The Michele's wines go very nicely with them. The Nerello Mascalese grape varietal gives a nice pale color and a lighter style of wine that's just a beautiful and really recognized by the new psalms in the restaurant community.
Yes. And the cachet when you lean into someone at a dinner table and say, taste this. This is from Mount Etna. It captures the imagination. They're growing there. How are they growing there? What does it taste like? What is this? That's volcanic soil. What is it? What does it give those vines, those wonderful roots? And so we know there's going to be herbaceousness. There's going to be minerality. What else are your vines giving you in terms of taste?
Yeah, you mean you know, we have. We have the complexity of several things that makes Etna wine unique. We have the minerality of the soil. We have freshness thanks to the altitude. Remember that we are at between 600 and 900 meters above sea level. So we have minerality, we have freshness, we have acidity thanks to Nerello Mascalese and Caricante. And so it's... It's unique because it's many things altogether that makes the wines unique. And the taste of the people, the palate of the people, and let me say, even of the young people, are going into this direction. Thanks God.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. Let's say you want to take a tasting experience at Hillside. You can join them daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.,
You can do the portfolio tasting, and it showcases their legacy vineyards dating back to 1984. Or the terroir tasting, and it shines a spotlight on their single vineyard series. It's the award-winning Hillside Winery on the Naramata Bench. All the details at hillsidewinery.ca. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by the Okanagan Wine Festivals. If you go to their website, there is a page full of festivals on Dolcetto and Bastille and Bench Dinner Tasting, the Paro in the Vineyard, the Colonna Polo Classic, the Festival of Albarino, and then mark your calendars for Silver Star Wine Festival, Rock the Lake Music Festival, and the Ambleside Music Festival. All the details can be found at thewinefestivals.com.
Michele Ferro is the owner of Pietra Dolce on Mount Etna. Tell me about this beauty.
Yeah, this is first of all, let me tell you about the label. The label is our Etna Human, volcanic human. You know, Sicily, the Mount Etna. Mount Etna is expressed by the people, yeah, as a woman, la montagna, the mountain, la montagna. So we wanted to express Mount Etna as an elegant Sicilian volcanic lady.
Yes.
Energetic volcanic lady. So let me say this one. After this, this is one of our flagship wines, our first wines, first vintage. Of our production was Archineri Etna Rosso 2007. We started producing small amounts of wine just as a test in 2006, but it was not for sale. And then officially we started with the 3,600 bottles of Archineri 27. So we love this label. We love this wine. This is a Prefiloxera Nerello Mascalese, 95 years old vines, bushy shape, at about 800 meters above sea level, just behind our winery.
The triangle.
Yeah, the triangle is the top part of the triangle is Mount Etna, reflecting itself. So it's and then it's also a shape of perfection. That's why we like to express, to use the triangle as our logo.
I forgot. I'm writing on the labels because I want to remind myself that Feudo di Mezzo is not yet in market, but it's coming.
Yeah, you know, you have in your hands just one of the very few bottles of Feudo di Mezzo, and I'm even surprised it's already there, because 2019 Feudo di Mezzo is the first vintage of this new Prefiloxera crew that we released in January, and just 1,500 bottles. Again, Prefiloxera, let me say before I forgot, when you see the volcano woman, the volcano lady on the label, it means Prefiloxera. We only produce our crew and grand crew using very old vines, Prefiloxera wines, no young vineyards for our crew. Santo Spirito again. And I want to tell you a story about Santo Spirito, an amazing story. When we bought in 2016, in January 2016, this new land, 4 hectares land, it was completely abandoned, covered of wild weeds. Wow. So no Prefiloxera vines was seen by ourselves when we bought the land. All in a sudden, when we started cleaning the land, we discovered that under the wild weeds, there were some amazing Prefiloxera vines. So we said, what is this? What should we do? Because we love this kind of plants, we said we have to respect, we have to protect them. So we pruned the vines, and all in a sudden, in springtime, we saw that they started spruiting again. It was like, you know, discovering old Egyptian monument under the desert, you know. And so that's why we say this is a miracle. So in October, we harvested the first vintage of Santo Spirito, Prefiloxera.
Michele Ferro is talking to us from Etna, from Pietra Dolce. I always believe if I find the person doing the growing, owning, talking about the wines, and you can see the passion and the interest, you know that they don't make lame wines. Those people who are interesting make the same sort of wines that they are, the passionate wines. You make a passionate wine, Michele.
Yeah, believe me, we make passionate wines. I make passionate wines because I have a deep, extreme passion for this terroir. And that's why we make passionate wines. And
Santo
we
really de Spirito.
Terroir. Santo Spirito, Holy Spirits. It's the name of the crew of the Contrada in Sicily, Mount Etna. We translate the crew with the name, with the word Contrada, which is a particular area with a particular condition that makes the wine unique. Rampante. Ah, okay. Rampante is another great crew, single vineyards wine. Again, Prefiloxera, because again, you find the volcano lady on the label. Again, Prefiloxera, 90, 95 years old vines. And this is divided from Archineri, from the vineyard Archineri, just by a small volcanic wall. But these vineyards, compared to the one of Archineri at Tanarosso, stand on a different lava flow. A different lava flow compared to the one of Archineri at Tanarosso makes different and wine because make different chemical condition soil. You understand?
Yes. Michele Ferro is the owner of Pietra Dolce on Mount Etna. Michele, how hard do these vines have to work to stay alive, to grow?
Yeah, they produce 1 kilo, 1.5 kilo per vine we produce. So you have to take care about them. We work by hand. You cannot go inside the vineyards mechanically because you cannot enter with the big machine because the vines are planted 1 meter per 1 meter. So you have to go inside by hand. So it's really hard to work, but it's a great satisfaction for us.
Do you believe that the harder those vines have to work to stay alive and grow and produce, make them even better?
Yeah, naturally. You know, it's harder to produce, but you know what I like to say? Finally, it's hard to produce wine from these vines. It's a big cost to produce wine from these vines, but at the end, they gave you a great concentration in quality because it's a small fruits, deep skin, very juicy compared to the younger ones.
We have a phrase here. It's yummy.
Thank you.
I don't see the yummy on the label anywhere. Selwyn, anything you want to add here while we keep going? Because if you don't jump in, he's going to take over the show.
I think it's a true testament to his passion and like to think anybody lives on the side of a very active volcano. You know, we hear about Etna erupting every year. We hear about it over here. And he's chosen to revitalize some of these old vines and produce exceptional wines from this very treacherous region. It's just amazing. And it's so nice to see these wines over here. And Michele, we bring in nearly the whole lineup, and there's some entry level ones, his Etna Rossos, which is a great introduction to his lineup of wines that are readily available in market as well. In the BC liquor stores, his Etna Rosso is available, and that's a great introduction to some of these more premium wines that we're talking about today.
Michele Ferro is the owner of Pietra Dolce on Mount Etna. We have one more. As you well know, we have one more. This is the beauty.
You have our diamond. This is our diamond. Barbagalli is what I call our Grand Cru, which is Prefiloxera again, but is the very top version of our Prefiloxera. It's a single vineyard, about 2,000 bottles per year, no more, that we sell by allocation. And it's our Grand Cru. And it's the result, this bottle is the result of an amazing vineyard. And I hope you can have possibility to see it because it's a small paradise. It's a small paradise. In this case, the vines give us no more than 0.5 kilo or 1 kilo, no more. It's a really great concentration in quality, huge concentration. And that's why I say this is our small diamond.
There's still snow on the top of Etna.
Yeah, it's still snow. Not now because it's very, but till May, we have snow on the top of the of Mount Etna. You know, Selvin was saying, yeah, you know, it's an active volcano, but we are not scared at all about this. We are very used. For us, Etna is a kind of big mother, you know, because we are not scared at all. We have, it's all about positive things because we have snow in winter time till springtime. So we have water on the ground. We have protection by the main winds. It's a kind of big mother, positive things, nothing else.
Are you living in Castiglione?
I'm living in Acireale, which is about 30 minutes from Castiglione, and not so far away.
Have the towns become wine destinations? Are people coming there now?
Yes, for sure. It's a very hot area because, and believe me, 25 years ago, I don't want to say nobody, but almost nobody was coming on Mount Etna. It just if you had some relatives up there. Believe me, now it's very hot. Many people coming from all around the world. You know, we accept some visit, but we are very selective. We do a very strong selection because our main business job is making wine, not making tourism. But when we feel that there are some really real Pietra Dolce lovers, or for sure press or distributors, so we welcome visits. Yes,
Michaela Faro, Michaela Faro is the owner of Pietra Dolce on Mount Etna. I realize that the three varietals that you're working with are meant to grow in that soil. They are traditionally meant to be grown there. Is anybody experimenting with Cabernet or Cab Franc or other?
You know, at the beginning, about 20 years ago, somebody was trying to use some international varieties like Pinot Noir, Petit Verdot, or something else. But when people discovered that Mount Etna is all about Nerello, Mascalese, and Caricante, luckily people stopped. We are really, you know, we are traditionalists and we love cultivating Prefiloxera vines and we love cultivating only just Nerello and Caricante because tradition for us is the main things. So luckily now people, they stop to do something strange. What I say is something strange. So new varieties. No Mount Etna. Not in Mount Etna, please.
Now, what would your grandfather think of those wines and what you've done?
Yeah, well, yeah. My grandfather was a simple guy. Was a simple guy. My grandfather did not have even the driving license. You know, it was a great man cultivating himself the land. And I remember when I was young, I was sometime I went with him in the vineyards, and in October we pressed the wine by our feet. It was exceptional. It was very satisfied when after the harvest. And now I'm very proud that after so many years I realized I managed to continue what he was doing many years ago. So it's very proud about it.
Selwyn, I'm going to ask you this. I want to close with you, and that is how easily can we find these wines?
You can. The wines we talked about today are mostly in wine boutiques and fine Italian restaurants. The Barbagalli, there's so little made of Barbagalli, and it's such a special vineyard. But there's a select few bottles that go into BC liquor stores every year, into the Signature stores. So they are available at the BCL. His entry-level Etna Rosso is also available at BCL stores. That's much widely distributed because there's a lot more of that. And wine boutiques carry the different crews, the Contradas. We have a beautiful mixed case available as well of three of the four Contradas or single vineyards available in one case.
We're going to leave those.
Let me say the mix box. The mixer case is exclusive for Canada, let me say.
All right, Michaela, we're going to finish with you. Please talk to Italian Canadians, people who speak Italian in Canada, why they should be looking for these wines and why they should be trying them. You have 60 seconds, go.
So you mean in Italian?
Yes.
Buon pomeriggio a tutti gli italiani in Canada. Michele Faro da Pietra Dolce, produciamo vino sul versante nord dell'Etna, vini da vigne antiche che hanno 100, 100, 140 anni, Prefilloxera, Nerello Mascalese e Caricante, vini di grande eleganza che possono essere bevuti con differente tipologie, con differenti piatti, eleganza, freschezza, mineralità. Quindi speriamo che li possiate apprezzare, speriamo che ci possiate venire a trovare presto in Sicilia, sull'Etna.
Thank you, Michele. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. Great to be with you.
Thank you, Selwyn.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Michele.
Thank you, Michele.
Keep making great wine.
It was great. And come to see us on Mount Etna.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Ciao. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Mount Boucherie Estate Winery in West Kelowna, with some of the oldest vineyards in British Columbia, dating back as far as 1968, Mount Boucherie offers a portfolio of estate-grown, handcrafted wines that pair perfectly with everyday life. You can find details on Modest Butcher, Kitchen and Market, how to shop wine online, tasting room hours and tours, and the luxury accommodation. All the details at mountboucherie.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And a reminder from Unsworth that the month of August is Wine Festival in the Cowichan Valley. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. Welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. I have the winemaker for Fort Barron's with me on screen for those of you watching on screen and those of you on audio. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to take a run at your first name just to make sure I don't screw it up. Alessandro.
Alessandro.
Alessandro. There's a soft S in there. Alessandro. But your family or your friends call you Alex?
Yes, good morning, Terry. No, I've got nothing to do with the Italian Alessandro, Alex for short. My mom just liked the name, and she obviously wanted me to suffer at school.
Where were you born? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Namibia, which is a country just north of South Africa.
Yep.
And all the way up to high school, and then I moved to South Africa to study winemaking.
Was that meant to be? Was your family in the wine business in any way, shape, or form?
Not at all. My parents drank wine. They introduced me to wine at a young age, and we had a wine bar open up in our capital city of Vintik, which is quite a small place. And we enjoyed our Friday evenings there going through wines, and turns out you can actually study winemaking.
You're in Lillooet, British Columbia. Does it feel like a long way from home?
Yes and no. It's, again, an isolated little beautiful spot, and where I've been making wine for the last 12 years in South Africa was quite similar circumstances.
You did some brewing too, didn't you?
I did, yes. So the last decade, my wife and I have been winemakers for Cedarburg Wines. She's also a winemaker. I was in charge of white wines and red. She was in charge of reds. And in between, I had a passion for beer and brewing beer. So I started a little brewery up there, and brewing with fresh mountain spring water kept me busy.
When did you hear about the Fort Barron's possibility? Did you seek it? Did they seek you? How did it come together?
My wife and I were seeking to explore our horizons and moving to a new area. So, like I said, we were living on a farm, which is a small village of 120 people. And my kids were getting to an age where I needed to send them to school. So we decided, let's go on an adventure and look around a bit. We're quite well traveled. I've done some vintages abroad in New Zealand and France and California. Never been to Canada. So we started looking here, and obviously, we started looking in the Okanagan, where all the most wineries are. And then this job popped up. I found it online. I thought, wow, that looks amazing. I enjoy making wines from quite extreme and different terroirs. And Lillooet, a little bit bigger than what we had. We have a hospital here and a grocery store. And the only winery here, I thought, this is very exciting and quite unique with its temperate climate here, with the warm days and cold nights. I thought, wow, this must be something great. So,
when you tasted the wines, anything familiar about them, or were they quite different from anything you tasted before?
quite a lot of different varietals that I'm used to before. It was pleasant, actually quite difficult because it was during COVID that I was hired to be the winemaker for Fort Barons, and everything was delayed that I missed the 2020 vintage. So we try to make wine with the winemaker here and via the internet and via Zoom calls. And now I had to try and make wines and try and imagine how they tasted without ever tasting them. But yeah, no, I was pleasantly impressed with the quality of wines that was being made at Fort Barons when I finally got here and, to taste them.
You had to go through that difficult period, as all winemakers do, where you're dealing with wines that someone else made, usually the reds, and then you can make your intentions known and your put your character and your ideas of what wine is and can be, as you make these. So now we're looking at these 9 or 10, 11 wines. The whites are can actually be said to be yours.
Correct.
All right.
From 2021 was my first vintage from pruning all the way through to bottle.
Wonderful. By the way, you, having come from South Africa, you are used to big heat. And I saw a phrase, Rolf wrote something about a typical summer in Lillooet. But I mean, it's a different, is it a different heat, 30 plus?
It is very much. I don't know why it feels hotter here than in South Africa. When it's 36 or 38 degrees here, it equivalates to a 45 degree day in South Africa, and those aren't common. I mean, we'll maybe get 2 days in the low 40s in February, but generally not that high. So Lillooet is a pretty warm climate, but it's also this valley that we sit between these massive mountain ranges, and the heat gathers down here at the bottom. We're quite low elevated.
Alessandro Nell, the winemaker, viticulturist at Fort Barons, Lillooet. After talking about heat, we'll talk about the 2021-22 winter, which is damn cold.
Yes.
You had Rolf was saying that you had a minus 25 in December, I think it was. Some vineyards lost their plants, lost all their vines, but yours survived. How did that happen, do you think?
Terry, that is a struggle with the entire wine region of BC this year. We had close to negative 26, and there are reports of close to negative 28, 29 down in the Okanagan. I think it's many factors play a role here. You can actually see where your cold pockets were this time around,
Yeah.
where you have some vine death and things like that. I think we had a phenomenal October. It was really warm, and then from there we jumped 2 weeks later to negative 13. So the vines weren't acclimatized into dormancy yet, and there was also a lot less snow. So there's many factors that play a role in what has happened this winter. We don't see that much vine death, but certainly we have quite a lot of bud damage, which has decreased our crop. So we're looking at about a 50% loss
Wow.
in our cropping levels this year. But then again, 2022 was phenomenal. We had a great vintage. It's farming. You can't have a great vintage every year. And
It started slow, very slowly. I remember a winemaker saying, "We need sun or we have no wine." And then all of a sudden it came out in a long hang, a beautiful hang, right?
yes. What's nice is we have a long ripening period here and a long hang time. And even though it's hot, it cools down during the crucial time, and that's from veraison onwards. Then we're looking at, high 20s, and that's mostly when your aromatic profiles are developed and retained in the fruit.
When would your harvest have been in South Africa?
Well, Southern Hemisphere, we begin in February,
Okay,
and it runs all the way
that
through
just
to
doesn't make,
April.
that just I'm sorry, that doesn't make sense because as you know, harvest last year was November 2nd, a full 14 days later than 2021. So I mean, that's the only harvest we've ever known. So you're upside down and backwards, and it's astonishing that you can follow our calendar the way you do.
No, it's quite tricky. I'm so used to having a wine bottled, produced and bottled in the same vintage on a white. Here you produce it and you bottle it the following year.
Did you like Christmas in December?
I must say I've really come to enjoy the snow.
Okay.
We spend quite a lot of time outdoors around a campfire and sledding with the kids, so I'm enjoying it.
Wonderful. Alessandro Nell, the winemaker, viticulturist at Fort Barons, Lillooet. Let's start talking about your whites, if it's okay with you. We'll leave it at the Chardonnay and then pick it up in a second segment on with the rosé, which is fabulous. You have two Rieslings.
Yes.
The Riesling 2022 and the Small Lot Dry Riesling. Small Lot Dry Riesling says everything you need to know about that bottle. So take them one at a time, if you would, the Riesling itself.
Yeah, let's begin with the classic Riesling. So we actually produced three different Rieslings on the estate. The classic being more your easy, approachable one, mostly what you'd expect from a Riesling. It's slightly off dry. This one is beautifully fresh, aromatic. You're going to pick up lots of, you know, fresh apple on the nose and grapefruit, but a really nice balance between sweet and sour on the palate.
Yep.
All stainless steel fermented, a little bit of lees contact. So really just keeping the freshness in that wine. And then we do the small lot. Yes. So small lot just allows me to play around a little bit more with, it is all estate grown fruit. So I've taken that from two different blocks on the estate. I have a great passion for barrel fermenting whites with natural fermentation. So that one I did 30% barrel ferment and 70% stainless steel. And then after 4 months aging, blended it back. So that just allowed to give a little bit of more mouthfeel and richness to the wine. That one is dry, the small lot. So again, a very fresh, lively style of white Riesling, but with some nice creamy mouthfeel on the palate.
The Small Lot Gruner. Oh, I love this. This is going to be one of your stars.
Yeah, well, we've got a little bit of Gruner on the property and something I've obviously never made before. So I'm enjoying working with it. I was a big Sauvignon Blanc producer back in South Africa. So I'm applying my knowledge from Sauvignon Blanc into Gruner. The same approach here. I did a portion of barrel fermentation with natural yeast. After 4 months aging, blended it back with a tank component.
Yep.
And just, you know, it's I try and farm the grapes within the leaf canopy so they don't see any sunlight. So I'm just trying to keep the wine as fresh and aromatic as possible. So lots of notes of kiwi and lime and white asparagus, some grassy notes.
Ah, kiwi. Yes. I love that kiwi. It strikes a through line straight through my brain. What did you want to pair with that Gruner?
Well, traditionally it's paired with schnitzel.
Yeah, but we're not doing that. So
it is a serious wine, but it's also a wine that you can just enjoy on its own. But personally, I think oysters or a salad would go really, really well with it.
Alessandro Nell, the winemaker, viticulturist at Fort Barron's, Lillooet. The Pinot Gris.
Yes.
Now, there's a lot of Pinot Gris, as you well know, in the Okanagan, in British Columbia. It pays the bills.
Yes.
And some of them taste like they're paying the bills. In other words, they knock it off. There seems to be no character, no excitement to it. But I'm beginning to taste and smell a very different Pinot Gris here. Also a stainless steel.
Yeah, so my approach to Pinot Gris is also trying to keep it fresh and lively. So
sure.
No sun-exposed bunches, all closed in the canopy, and I'm trying to stay away from oxygen during the winemaking process. So all stainless steel, cold fermentation, kind of keep it vibrant, fresh, and aromatic. So lots of sort of white pear and quince and a little bit of tropical fruit in there as well. And then just really fresh on the palate, something that I really, really enjoy drinking in the summer. I would say Pinot Gris would be the Sauvignon Blanc of South Africa. It's in everyone's refrigerator.
Of course.
So yeah, I've really come to enjoy working with Pinot Gris. It's again another cultivar
Pinot Gris is never. No one has ever cellared Pinot Gris, unless the case got hidden behind something else. And I want to ask you about the Chardonnay. Were you a Chardonnay fan? Had you experience with Chardonnay in South Africa?
I am very much a big Chardonnay fan. Like I said, I really enjoy my barrel fermented whites, making them in the winery and drinking them. This Chardonnay, we've tried to keep very, very elegant. Again, only 30% is barrel fermented with about 1% new oak, so you don't even pick it up. It's just a hint in the background. It's a combination of whole cluster pressing and crushed deep destemmed fruit. And some natural fermentation as well. So that's a really nice, fresh style of Chardonnay. Lots of yellow apple and just a little bit of toast on the back from a touch of new oak.
This is our first interview with Alex Nell, who's the winemaker in viticulturist at Fort Barron's in Lillooet, my friends, which had no wineries to speak of until about 2009. And then Fort Barron's opened up its front gates and said, here we are. It's taken a while and it's taken a lot of work, but the payoff is here, friends. And you can tell because this winemaker knows what he's doing with these wines. Riesling, small lot dry Riesling, small lot Gruner, Pinot Gris and Chardonnay. By the way, the small lot does mean, yes, you got to hustle if you want to find it. That's it. Alessandro Nell, the winemaker, viticulturist at Fort Barron's, Lillooet. When we come back, the Rosé, the Cab Franc, the Meritage, the Red Gold, and what the Nells will be doing for Christmas. I'm Terry David Mulligan. Be right back. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. There's a new chef at the Unsworth Bistro. He's Dan Bain. Come and meet the chef and his culinary talents. And at the same time, you might want to shop for some bubble. Charme de Lille and Charme de Lille Rosé is available in the tasting room. And a reminder from Unsworth that the month of August is Wine Festival in the Cowichan Valley. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor in Soyuz. As you know, the entire area has been inundated by concern about the Eagle Bluff wildfire. It's been announced that evacuation orders have been rescinded, and Drive BC has also lifted its recommendation not to travel on Highway 3 between Carameas and Soyuz. So that's open. Moon Cursor and surrounding wineries remain open at this time. They still recommend reservations when possible, and you can book online. Check with the Oliver Soyuz Wine Country for updates or go to the website. And do make sure that you know before you go. Check out current driving conditions. And from Moon Cursor, a huge thank you to everyone who's reached out to us. We are so incredibly grateful for the dedication of all of the firefighting crews who continue to work tirelessly to help keep everyone and our homes and businesses safe. Details at mooncursor.com. We are introducing you to the image of and the wines of Alex Nell, who has been some 2.5, almost 3 years now, at Fort Barron's in Lillooet, and came to us from South Africa with his family. Did you get to do any trout fishing up there?
In South Africa, no.
In Lillooet, in that valley.
Oh yeah, my kids love fishing. I have two small boys, 7 and 5, and on our free time, we're camping out in the lakes here and trout fishing.
Come on, that's beautiful country. Oh, that's gorgeous country. Well,
it is really.
Now we talked about your whites, and you can tell from listening to you that you have a love for getting those whites right. How about the reds? How are you in the reds, and how are you with rosé?
So my wife is predominantly the red winemaker, the winery we were in the past, but
what's your name?
Tammy.
Tammy, thank you.
But we asked each other's opinions all the time, and it was a larger operation there. So at one stage, it got too busy for us to focus on one on both. So I sort of steered towards the white because you can drink it earlier. She moved to the reds because she was more patient. I was big on the Cabernet Sauvignon and Shiraz and the Pinot Noir, and I've used those winemaking techniques and adapted them to Cabernet Franc. So I'm still learning on the cultivar; it's new to me. And I've discovered it's sort of the Pinot Noir of the Bordeaux world. You got to be very careful when you pick it and not picking it underripe or overripe.
The rosé is a blend. It's a beautiful blend.
This is about 70% Pinot Noir.
Yep.
And a touch of Merlot and Cabernet Franc. And all just about 12 hours of skin contact until I get the color right. It's one of the trickiest things to get right because it can either be too dark or too light, and you lose a lot during the winemaking process. But yeah, definitely one of my favorite wines to go to in the summer.
There's a line in there about the rosé that says 70% Pinot Noir, 16 Merlot, 14 Cab. But then the line that got me was you had your skin contact for some 12 hours after the perfect color was achieved. So I've had winemakers get angry with me when I say, all right, did you make it for the color or the wine? Oh, no, I made it for the wine. I made it absolutely because that was the wine. That's what it wanted to be. I said, oh, because, color
in the choices in the stores becomes almost as important as the label and who made it and whatever. So tell me about the color comment, the color dialogue.
Well, Rolf likes to say you taste with your eyes.
Yeah.
When you first look at food, you taste with your eyes. So for me, the color, Pinot Noir is a lighter color varietal to begin with.
Yeah.
So you can expect the rosé to be slightly lighter in color, which I really enjoy. And rosé also tends to get darker with age. So when looking at this wine, I always think of it in a year's time. Where is it going to be? How's it going to taste? So all those factors come into play. I personally prefer a Provence lighter style color rosé.
I thought I tasted strawberry in there, or at least smelled it, but it's not. It's raspberry. It's gorgeous. It's
gorgeous. Any of those light red berry fruits, for me, a little bit of watermelon, and candy floss. It's really quite an aromatic. But for me, the charm of that wine is the palate. It's actually become very creamy and textureful.
I tried it with some spicy chicken off the barbecue. Wonderful. But I would have just had nothing at all. I'd have had it with popcorn if I whatever. This was a fine rosé. How many cases? 1,600. Well done.
Yeah. And it's all estate grown in the 2022 vintage.
Alessandro Nell, the winemaker, viticulturist at Fort Barron's, Lillooet. We come to the Cab Franc Reserve, my friend, which is done very well for itself.
Yes.
At the 2023 British Columbia Lieutenant Governor Wine Awards, the Cab Franc Reserve 2020 won a platinum medal representing the top 13 wines in this competition. I was honored and delighted to be one of the judges on the day.
Oh, great. So you.
And when they revealed.
Good job, Terry. Thank
you. When they revealed out of their brown bags very dramatically who these platinum winners were, I said, yes! Because I recognize the neck of the bottle. Wonderful.
Yeah. So the Cab Franc Reserve is taking, you know, my approach to a border varietal. It's picking is crucial on this wine, either picking it overripe or underripe. And I'm still trying to find that balance of where Cabernet Franc likes to be. But yeah, this was fermented on the skins, obviously. We did punch downs and pump overs every 4 hours during the peak fermentation period. I don't let it get too warm, 28 degrees Celsius, and then I cool it back to 24.
Yeah.
Then we just do an extended maceration on the skins, and we taste every day to decide when to press. And then it's been 15 months in barrel, which is sort of new to Fort Barron's. Previously, it used to be 9 months. We're moving to a 15-month aging barrel aging. And 50% new oak and 50% second fall, all French oaks, which is also sort of new. They've also used some American in the past. So I'm making small changes and tweaks to the red wine making protocol here.
Congratulations on that Reserve Cab Franc. That is a beautiful bottle of wine. And will sell her for 6, 7, 8 years?
Yeah, that wine will age phenomenally. It's just going to get better. It's really got a great mouthfeel. It's got a really nice tannin structure.
Minerality. Wonderful. Everything you need. Lots of tannins. Wonderful. How about the Meritage Reserve? Same thing?
Yes. Also a phenomenal aging wine.
Yeah.
Also 15 months barrel matured, and I keep everything separate in the winery. I only do my blends later. So every block sometimes is picked in portions. Everything is fermented separately, aged separately. And then we go through and we taste the barrels. And I mean, putting a blend together could take up to 4 to 6 weeks, and going through and tasting before we take them out of barrel and blend them. Wine is a funny thing. It's also weather dependent. Today, it'll taste completely different to how it does tomorrow.
Totally.
So yeah, we take our time in putting these blends together. So yeah, the Meritage Reserve is a 60% Merlot, 40% Cabernet Franc. And our reserve range is all estate grown fruits. And
I like your oak program as well. I like Tammy's oak program. 15 months, of which 40% was new and 60% was second fill. So you're not beating it over the head with oak, but it's still partners with oak.
Yeah, so it's that integrates with time. Yeah. And it also depends on what coupe you're using and what thickness of stave you're using. But the oak that I'm using is for 15 to 16 month maturation. And we like to keep it at least a year in bottle before we release it. And you'll just see how that integrates and slowly fades into the wine and marries with the wine as it ages further.
It's dark and rich, but it's not. There's a light medium body to it right down the middle. It's fabulous for sharing with four people.
Yeah, powerful yet elegant.
Yep. Very nice. Wine is ready now. Will peak in 2024. However, with proper cellaring, you can go until about 2027, maybe even longer.
Most of the wines will age longer. You don't really want to put a date on it. It's not a product that expires. But for me, it's more important that a wine stays at a constant temperature than at a cool temperature, because that constant breathing in and out of the cork is what damages it. But yeah, so that's why they say keep it against the cold wall, and your wine should age very well.
Alex Nell, 2.5, almost 3 years now at Fort Barron's in Lillooet, and came to us from South Africa. I want to ask you about your red gold, which is really the top of the line, and you don't make it every year. As a matter of fact, it's been a couple of years since it's been released, right?
Correct. The 2020 is the first release after, I think, 3 years that they did not produce one.
Yep.
So the red gold for me is my top barrel selection and my top blend that I can produce from estate fruit. So again, just it's all the varietals are kept separate. All the batches are kept separate. We go through, I taste all the barrels. I go through with Tammy, we taste the barrels. I go through with my assistant winemaker, we taste the barrels. And we narrowed them down to this vintage was just 3 barrels. And it ended up being a 67% Cabernet Franc and a 33% Merlot, which worked out best for us. So for me, it's 100% new French oak. It is really a juicy, soft, powerful yet elegant Bordeaux blend. And I'm really, really happy with how the 2020 turned out.
How many barrels did you have to taste from?
Well, this one was all new oak. So we went through about 30 barrels, which is not a lot.
And you chose to work with 3?
Yeah.
Wow.
This vintage, I couldn't get more. It's obviously my first vintage, and it was also learning which barrels are working with Cabernet Franc, and I had to switch things around once I got here.
I expected the dark fruit. I expected cassis. I did not expect chocolate. I love the chocolate in there.
Yeah. That is, new oak can be very, very seductive.
Well, you'll be pleased to know what's left of the red gold will be poured at the wedding this weekend with the chocolate cake that finishes the day. It's huge, it's rich, it's going to work beautifully.
Yeah, I remember my wedding day, I didn't have a cake. My wife and I had an 18 liter bottle of Shiraz, which was the wedding cake.
Oh, well. Well, listen, next time we do this, would you ask your wife to come along?
Oh, yeah, for sure. She's also working for Fort Barron. She's helping out with the club and just a little bit in the tasting, just a little bit of everything. In the harvest, I bring her back into the cellar just so that she doesn't forget what she loves doing, and include her in all the tastings as well. So yeah, I'm very, yeah, we're...
And last but not least, have you tasted around? Have you done enough tasting of BC wines to get a sense of us?
Probably not enough, but when I first got here, that's all we did. Was to taste, figure out the areas, figure out the history of Fort Barron's, tasting different varietals from the different areas to see what everything tastes like here. So every year I do two or three trips down to the Okanagan and spend some time tasting wines.
I want to thank you for your time and for your wines.
No, thank you, Terry, for your time and for speaking to us today.
And by the way, when you come with your talents and your family, you make us a better place. And for that, we thank you.
No, thank you, Terry.
Alessandro Nell, the winemaker, viticulturist at Fort Barron's, Lillooet. He and his family are with us. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Moon Cursor in Soyuz. As you know, the entire area has been inundated by concern about the Eagle Bluff wildfire. It's been announced that evacuation orders have been rescinded, and Drive BC has also lifted its recommendation not to travel on Highway 3 between Karamias and Soyuz. So that's open. Moon Cursor and surrounding wineries remain open at this time. They still recommend reservations when possible. And you can book online. Check with the Oliver Osoyus Wine Country for updates or go to the website. And do make sure that you know before you go
check out current driving conditions. And from Mooncursor, a huge thank you to everyone who's reached out to us. We are so incredibly grateful for the dedication of all of the firefighting crews who continue to work tirelessly to help keep everyone and our homes and businesses safe. Details at mooncursor.com.